Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everybody. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this Tuesday morning for Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And this week we have a couple of interviews from myself that I was able to produce over the past week or so. And the first of which is from two representatives of the Human Rights Activist Union, Ozna Khadef and Frozan Azami. And I had a really cool discussion with them. They are part of this organization called the Human Rights Activist Union that are specifically advocating for there to be more international attention and pressure towards the current ruling within Afghanistan recently, or as of, I believe it was 5 years ago now at this point, the government in Afghanistan was overtaken by the Taliban, and now that is the dominant ruling force within the country. And their organization wants to create further awareness and create further international pressure against that ruling. So I was able to speak with them about what some of the goals of their organization are, what they have planned. And I originally found out about them because I attended an event called the Fresh Wounds of August 15th. And that was an event about just everything that has happened since the Taliban took over as the dominant government within Afghanistan and everything that needs to happen now. So without further ado, here is my interview with them.
The activist union, Human Rights Activist Union, was established about 2 years ago in September 2023. It was out of necessity, as a response to the challenges that in the crisis that the Taliban caused after coming into power in 2021. The goal was to create as the name says, a union of activists and intellectuals, not only them, but also professionals and even regular people, to form a strong front to resist the Taliban and their ideology, as well as have a commit to defeating the Taliban and create a new alternative for them. So after the Taliban, there is going to be a strong group of people that can take over and have a stronger state that is based on justice and human rights, everything that the Taliban has been threatening.
The Human Rights Activist Union actually have more than 200 active members worldwide in different countries. And the main goal of establishing this union was in our country and in our community, division is a main issue and main problem. So we want to make the Human Rights Activist Union is like an umbrella to mm-hmm. get together all of our country's activists. So it could stand tall for the human rights, and it can be voice of our people within the country that they cannot talk against the Taliban brutality. So it's a big
all-inclusive
and
alternative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Frozen, I mentioned that we have over 200 members now, all across the world. We're just the BC team here. So we're a small fraction of that team that is active worldwide. Inside of Afghanistan as well, we have a team where we get our reports and our direct reports from what's going on the ground there.
Actually, we have a large group of people within the country, but because of the Taliban threats and the censor that the Taliban have imposed in the country, we cannot give the exact amount of people within the country.
How consistent is that communication? How often are you able to, I guess, commune with that faction of the organization?
We have a big group for the Human Rights Activist Union that includes all of our members. But in two time a month, we have a meeting that it gathers all of our members. It's like it's depend on the person that want to attend the meeting, but in every month we have two meetings and talk with the members within the country and outside of the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Human Rights Activist Union, there are different sort of groups within it, like around the world, and all for the express purpose of advocating for and fighting against Taliban rule within Afghanistan.
Exactly. So the name Human Rights Activist Union might signal that it is just activist union, but as you have noticed, that we have other, like, from, we're drawing from different forces, not. Because we think anything related to humans relates to human rights, so it's not just exclusive to activists. So we have intellectuals, we have researchers, we have scholars, we have, as I said, regular people just wanting to take part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the work that you do specifically in BC, I guess, is there a hope that advocacy puts pressure on, say, the Canadian government? Is the activist union advocating for in order to aid those in Afghanistan?
We are our team in BC working for advocating for our country and our people because. The Human Rights Activist Union around the world, they aim to put pressure on governments and lobbying against the Taliban, that the governments do not recognize the Taliban. We are trying to document the Taliban brutalities, the Taliban's human rights violations, and show the actual face of the Taliban to the international community. And Canada is one of the important part of international community, and we are actually appreciating the Canadian government stance against the Taliban. They recognize Taliban as a terrorist group, but we are advocating because we see some of countries recognize the Taliban, and the Taliban lobbies, they're trying to whitewash the actual face of the Taliban. So we aim to follow this path, and we have some meetings with Canadian officials. Like we had a meeting last year with David Sproul, which he was the special representative of Canada to Afghanistan, and we had a meeting with him and show our and we address the challenges and the Taliban's violations. I think this kind of advocacy would have like a great impact on international community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do definitely believe that. Any action that is for advocacy or like raising awareness for the people of Afghanistan inside of the country and outside is impactful. And anything that is Union is doing, the work that Union wants to do, we believe that has that impact. Especially with the, as Farzan mentioned, we now have connections to international organizations like the UN, we have connections in the Canadian government, like that. So any small action has an impact, especially when it is through strong connections. It is definitely putting a pressure on the Canadian government. Also raising the awareness, that part also enriches the awareness of the regular people, which is going to have indirect effect on the on what we want to gain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I originally found out about the Human Rights Activist Union through the event that you recently held, the Wounds of August
15th.
Yeah, of August
the
15th.
Wounds
of August 15th. Yes. Can you, I guess, go a bit into what went into creating that event as well as what its intended impacts were?
Mm-hmm. So exactly, we were talking about raising awareness and advocacy. One of the examples is that event, which we organized with the exact vision, with the exact objective of raising awareness, because it has been 4 years now from the Taliban, and opposite to a lot of people's expectations that waited to see like if the Taliban are gonna change, if their thoughts are gonna change or ideology, we witnessed that wasn't the case, and actually it was worsened. Not only the education part, women's education part, but also like in human rights in general were violated in all sense. Women's, kids, men's, everyone's. So despite that, we witnessed that the world was moving towards recognizing the Taliban and normalizing the Taliban. A lot of lobbying is happening outside of that country, in countries like Canada, the US, and that the awareness of regular people is decreasing about what's actually happening in Afghanistan. So the objective of that event was raising awareness and raising the voices of those people that are being silenced right now, and that was the objective. But if we go back to like how we started planning for that, we first were thinking of doing like
a protest concert that one of our famous artists just perform like patriotic
theatrical pieces
and yeah, like this. But when we go through the process, we recommend to have a panel of discussion that have like experts and officials that talk about the issue and address challenges and have suggestions and comments to Canada and international community. So we organized to have a panel of discussions, and we had a panel of we had a panel that Richard Bennett, the special rapporteur of UN on the situation of human rights in Afghanistan, he attended to the panel virtually. actually we had Tim Martin, the last ambassador of Canada to Kandahar. He wrote a book about his mission and experience in Afghanistan. We had Dr. Lauren Odds, the executive director of Right to Learn Afghanistan organization. We had Ramin Manui, the general counsel of Afghanistan in Vancouver. And we also had Dr. Mohammad Muhiq, former ambassador of Afghanistan and Egypt. We had a panel discussion, and we discussed about human rights violations. We had discussed education issue that right now, like more than around 19 million girls cannot attend school and university. They have deprived of their basic human rights. And we also discussed about the Islamic base of the Taliban's actions, and we had discussed that as their actions are aligned with the Islamic laws.
And yeah, because that's where they try to draw their legitimacy from. And as Dr. Muhiq explained, that that's not the case, although they want to legitimize the rule in their actions through a religion. But we see that most of their actions are, in fact, against the teachings of religion.
Mm-hmm. It's like a perversion of those teachings, in a sense, to fit a specific ideology.
Exactly.
What was the response to that event, you know, from those in attendance and those who watched it online and things like that? Have you been hearing anything?
So the response was pretty positive. By positive, I mean that we sensed that we had the impact that we were trying to have. It got a lot of media attention. A couple of known media outlets posted and shared about that event. Also, the attendees walked away with a lot of awareness of what is happening in Afghanistan, with the statistics that we gave, and also the panel discussion was pretty valuable in giving insights. We think we had a good impact on the attendees, also in wider population.
Yeah. Our aim was to, like, August 15, the day that the Taliban invade our country, it's like a wound in our body, and in a big picture in the body of our country. Mm-hmm. And until we can have back our country and can get it back from the Taliban, it would be a wound in our body. And we're trying to keep this wound fresh, and because it is something that we cannot forget about it, because our lives have changed, like totally changed before and after that day. Our event was aimed to first remember that day, and second, we raise awareness about this day. What is, and until now, what is going on in the country? And if this rule and if the Taliban continue, so what will happen more in the country, and what would be the impact of the Taliban rule? It is our aim, and we're trying to keep it. We're trying to remember it, and we're trying to alarm, like, international community that you cannot remember, you cannot forget this this day.
Yeah, you would expect that everybody knows the group that the Taliban are. a terrorist group that is now ruling a country, violating all the human rights, and threatening the culture, the historical memory, everything positive about that country. You'd think that people know that. But what you see is happening is that there is a lot of attempt to normalize the image of the Taliban, and they are succeeding a bit in that. And they're using social media. The Taliban are a big user of social media now, because it has become a tool of their of battle, of normalizing their image, inviting a lot of foreign tourists to the country and just allowing them to show good parts of the country and not what's actually happening behind those videos. Attempting to show to the world that the Western media is actually lying to you. Taliban aren't that bad. Look, people are happy. And they say that women are happy, girls are happy, I don't know, by showing little girls that are smiling and playing. They're trying to normalize their image like that. And people are buying it. You just need to look at the social media and the videos and see people's comments. So an event like this was necessary, and we need a lot of events like this that the union is having in mind to actually be like, actually wait, this is just all propaganda, what this Taliban is trying to show, and their supporters. What's actually happening? This is the list. Yeah, 1,600 human rights violation, and just related to arrests, arbitrary arrests. That's one of the statistics. And then there is sexual violence against the women activists. That's another tactic that they're using. Any woman that tries to raise her voice, they get arrested, they get imprisoned and sexually abused to silence them and then threaten them not to do anything like that again and to threaten other women.
Hmm. Yes, like the statistics of human rights violation is... it's actually horrible when you heard about the Taliban's brutalities, but what they're trying to show is like everything is okay. We are trying to find a solution for the girls' education, and international media somehow they're trying to show like a good face of the Taliban, but what we see under the layer of the society, it's totally different. It's very terrible. Like in every day, they're
in every aspect. Yeah,
every aspects. Yeah, they're making new religious schools. They are very dangerous. They like small. Little boys, like 7 or 8 years boys, they enroll that boys, and they try to make them like,
yeah, use them for military purposes. Actually, this I was reading this yesterday that the Taliban ordered to remove some subjects from the higher education curriculum. From various disciplines, they ordered to remove 18 subjects, and then 201 other subjects they said were will be under revision. So I think it's pretty easy to expect to predict what they might be removing. And by the way, they said that these are against the Sharia. So some of the subjects are fundamental rights. That's one subject that they are that they ordered to remove. Islamic political movements, good governance, political systems, human rights and democracy, and history of religions, and of course sociology of women. Anything related to women scares them. Yeah. So.
It's not just about raising awareness within the international community, but also just working on this pretty significant propaganda effort as well.
Yeah, actually, our aim, our activities divide in two parts. It's like short terms and long term goals. For short term goals, we are trying to raise awareness, advocacy for human rights, trying to keep awareness among the people, trying to provide education for girls and women in the country.
Pressure the government
not to recognize the Taliban. They're our short-term goals, but our long-term goals are social justice. And it's very important to work on social justice and a make image on our country, because we believe that what is going on in the country, with the political system and rule, it is not possible to have social justice in the country. In our long-term goals, we are trying to work on social justice.
I want to speak on that as well. Short-term goals. So the short-term, as Farzan said, that's advocacy, having events like this that raises awareness, efforts to pressure the UN to recognize gender apartheid as a crime under international law. Stuff like that are relate to our short-term goals. Also, we're creating that strong front. Long-term objectives is creating that all-inclusive alternative, but also correcting and rewriting the narrative of our country. So this is another whole topic, because we believe that since the establishment of current country, Afghanistan, that was as a result of the great game, that was the rivalry between Russia and Britain. This is 18th century. Since the establishment, there has been a lot of issue with the country. So a lot of issues that we see today within the country, that's ethnic divisions, anything of that sort. Also, the backwardness of the country, all we see as side effects of that, of the actual problem that is that the country has been ethnic-centered. One ethnicity ruling over other ethnicities, and we think that the entire narrative of our country has issues. So one of our long-term visions is correcting that narrative,
and we believe by correcting that narrative we can have social justice in our country. And if we have social justice and working for this social justice, all of citizens of our country will see themselves on the big image of the country. And we're trying to correct all of the previous narratives and correct all the symbols, answers, and everything of our previous narrative and trying to correct it and trying to have alternatives that
reflect the diverse identity of that of the population of that country.
Once again, thank you to Ozna Khadef and Frozani Azami for that interview. They are with the Human Rights Activist Union that are working towards creating further